I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'd rather be saved than anything I know. You know, I look back on my years as a teenager, and I really didn't know what I was missing out on. I didn't know what it was like to go to church. I'm talking about go to church. I ain't talking about just show up. I'm talking about being saved and go to church. You know, as God has got saved and started going to church, God began to deal with my heart. I was working at the grocery store there in Roanoke, and I used to unload the produce truck on Sunday morning. And that was my excuse not to go to church. That was my excuse. And as I got saved, I'm talking about gloriously born again, April 8, 1998, I can remember God began to deal with me. He said, "Son, you need to unload that truck quicker." And I'd go down there, and that thing that was my excuse became my biggest blessing. I'd go and unload that truck. I'd throw them cabbages, throw that corn off that truck, put it in that cooler, and I'd have it stacked up pretty and nice. And the Lord is my witness. The Lord is my help. I could get it done in time to go to church. But I made it a priority. And it was a blessed day in my life when God said, you know, you need to be at the house of God. And I thank Him for the house of God we have here at Liberty Baptist Church. This ought to be a special place to each family that's here. This ought to be a special place in your heart. And I'm glad to see this crowd out on Wednesday night. If you have your Bible, be finding the book of Psalms, chapter number 61. The book of Psalms, chapter number 61. I want to read all 8 verses found in this psalm, a psalm written by David. The book of Psalms, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. David said this. He said, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Let me read that one again. "From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I'm glad we wasn't the only ones searching. David had times in his life where he had to be led around. Verse number 3 says, "For Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings, Selah. For Thou, O God, hast heard my vows, that Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life in his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto Thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, that You'd send help tonight, Lord. I thank You for the text, Lord, You've given me. Lord, I don't have any ability within myself, Lord, to convey this message out of my heart, Lord, but Thou dost. Lord, I pray, dear God, You'd help one soul in here this night, Lord. Thank You for all You're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. My attention tonight is going to be coming out of verse number 2, where David said, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." There was times in David's life that David was a man that was after God's own heart. David was a man that knew the giant. David knew how to slay the lion and the bear. When they went down through Jesse's sons, and they went to picking out who was going to be the next king of Israel, they passed through all of Jesse's sons. And Samuel said, "I don't see the one that should be here. I don't see him here. Where can he be found?" And they got down and said, "You must have one more." And David, out attending the sheep, they said, and as they saw David, Samuel said, "That's him." And they anointed him with oil. And David became the next king. And David lived the highlights of his life. David knew what it was up to be on the top. He knew what it was like to, when Saul was chasing after him. They said, "David, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s." And no doubt David lived on the mountain a lot of times of his life. A lot of times we live on the mountain. But I'm going to tell you, in Psalm 61, we found David in the lowest valley that he could ever be in. Tonight I want to preach on this subject, overwhelmed but not overcome. Overwhelmed but not overcome. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And most commentators and our people I read after said this psalm was written in the time period that Absalom was chasing after David. And if anybody in here knows who Absalom is, raise their hand. If not, we'll have a little Sunday school on Wednesday night real quick. We'll go into it a little bit anyway. Absalom was David's son. Absalom was beautiful in the sight of the Lord. Absalom had long, flowing hair, and he was beautiful. Not, no doubt, as David raised that son up, he thought he had a lot of potential. He was the one that was going to graduate from college. He was the one that was going to come up in David's footsteps. He had a lot of potential. No doubt, David never thought that Absalom, his own son, that came out of his loins, would rise up and revolt against him and try to lead an army to take over the king of Israel and try to take David off the throne. But Absalom pursued after David. You'll find, if you want to read these chapters, as they're found in 2 Samuel chapter 15 through 18, you'll find where Absalom rose up against David. And we know what happened to Absalom, no doubt. As Absalom pursued after David, his mule went up underneath the oak tree, and the very thing that was beautiful on him got caught in the oak tree and he hung himself there. David's at the lowest point of his life when he's writing this psalm. I'm here to tell you tonight, you may be here and you may be overwhelmed, but I'm going to tell you, if you're a child of God, you are not overcome. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. There may be somebody in the building that says, I'm about to quit. I'm about to give up. This thing in life is more than I can take. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God has a way to come in and step into our life. And you can be overwhelmed, but let me tell you what, with God, every step of the way, we cannot be overcome. I'm glad God is with me. I got Bible tonight to tell you that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And every step I made today, guess who was right by my side? The Lord Himself. You'll see, first of all, the pressure that David faced. I'm here to tell you tonight that there's pressures in life that you are going to have to face. I made this statement, and God's been dealing with me ever since I talked last time up here about a pressure cooker. My grandmother, I told y'all this story, I'm going to tell it again because this is where I got my message from, and God began to grow it inside of me. My grandmother, we never knew what it was like to go to her house and cook, eat anything grilled. She was not into healthy living. Everything was cooked with fatback. Everything was cooked with grease. Everything had real sugar in it. There was no sweet and low. There wasn't no Splenda. There wasn't any of those things ever found. There was no artificial anything. It was all real stuff. My grandmother lived to be 96 years old. My great-grandmother lived to be over 100. And that's what they grew up eating. Fried chicken in the morning, fried chicken for dinner, and fried chicken for supper. Everything fried. But every meat that we ever ate down there, she would put it in a pressure cooker. If we was going to have pork chops, guess what she'd do? Before she ever fried them, she put them down in that pressure cooker. And then she began to pressure cook. You know what it did? It tenderized that meat. I'm talking about the most tenderest pork chops you ever eat. You didn't even need a fork. They just slide off on you. You didn't even have to cut them. But I'm telling you what, there was one thing essential for that pressure cooker to work all right. And I still don't know what they call that little thing they put on the top of it. If somebody does, they'll have to tell me after service. I'm not educated enough to know what it really is. All I know is it goes, and that lets you know it's working. That's all I know about it. But I know if you ain't got it, that thing will blow up. And I realize that the house of God in many Christians' life tonight, we are like that pressure cooker. And a lot of times we about forgot to put that little metal ball on top. And we have the pressures of life pushing us on each side. Pressures from our money. Pressures from our marriage. Pressures from the ministry. You say there's pressures in the ministry? I didn't know that. Yes, there's a lot of pressures in the ministry. There's a lot of things that our pastor and our pastor's wife go through that nobody knows anything about. And there's pressures that are created from the ministry in all shapes, all forms, and all fashions. Satan is not the only pressure in this ministry. There's pressure in the ministry. Let me tell you what, David found out that there was pressure, there was things around him that was created, and it was going to drive David to a point that he was overwhelmed. You know what the word overwhelmed means? That means you're going down. That means you're going under. I mean, you're drowning. And I'm not talking about you drowning on top of the water. I'm talking about you already under the water, and you don't know which way's up. David found himself in this. He faced pressure. Our kids today are facing pressures in their school that we never faced. They're selling drugs in the hall. They're teaching our kids things that ought not be taught. They're a heresy to the Word of God. And it's become accepted. We live in a non-God-fearing society, and they're teaching our children that way, and our children have pressures that we never even thought about having. Pressures that David faced. The pressures you're going to face as a child of God. David said, what do I do when this happens? I can be overwhelmed, but how do I not be overcome? The pressure that David faced. David, if you know the story of David, I told you about Absalom. David's situation was out of his control. David got to the point of life that he said, I have no longer the ability within myself to do this, and it's going to take somebody that's greater than I to be able to handle it. David was at the point of his life where he had to turn it over to God. And I'm going to tell you what a lot of us are doing tonight. We're holding on to our situation, saying, what can I do to fix it, when God just says, turn it over to me and I'll fix it. And there's been a lot of times in my life I said, I think I can fix that. And it's not. I was on a call today. And it was funny. We have a meeting with our boss, and this is what one of our guys said. He said, do you want me to help you with that? He said, no, that's just lightweight. And I kind of got a kick out of that, because a lot of times in our Christian life, we say, God's like, can I help you with that? And you say, no, that's just lightweight. And we carry that stuff around. And you know what? We're much like that pressure cooker. That thing's ticking on us. And that thing, our ministry is pressuring us. Our marriage is pressuring us. Our money begins to pressure us. Our friends begin to pressure us. Our family begins to pressure us. And we're just like that pressure cooker. And that stuff building up inside until we're below our top. We're much like that. David said the situation was too great for him. David said, I can no longer handle it, and it became a struggle. And he said, I'm struggling. You say, well, what happened? If you know the story of Absalom, I'll mention another guy's name. His name is Ahithophel. I may not have pronounced that right, but I hope it's close. Ahithophel was David's counselor. Ahithophel was the man that David went to when he needed advice. He was the man that he would go to and say, what do I do in this situation? And Ahithophel, who was given to God, given by God to David to guide him, traded sides of the fence. He traded not only from David's side, he went straight to Absalom's side. David knew what it was like for his friends to forsake him. David knew what it was like for his family to forsake him. And I'm here tonight to tell you, your family may forsake you and your friends may forsake you, but I'm glad we're serving a God tonight that will not forsake us. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I may lose everything I got, but I'm hanging on to the Word of God to tell you that I may be in the poorhouse, but I'm here to tell you my Heavenly Father will still feed me, because He said so in His Word. And I'm banking on His Word. David's struggle. David knew what it was like for his friends to forsake him. He knew what it was like for them to walk out and turn their back on him and never come back again. Does it sound like anybody you know? I remember the story in the Gospels where Jesus came to him and said, where will you go? He said, that's a hard saying. Who can know it? And it said, they all turned back and went following him. And except for Peter, he said, Jesus turned to Peter and he said, will you also go? And Peter said, to whom shall I go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm glad we have a God we can lean on. David found out that he could lean on God. He said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David had pressures in his life. And you may be here tonight, and there may be pressures driving you to make a decision. I want to say this also. Be careful to judge somebody by the decision they made. We don't know the pressure that was behind that person that made them make the decision that they're making. All I know a lot of times is I need to get in there with them and help them out. Because that's why God gave us brothers and sisters. And I'm going to tell you what, you're not always going to make the right decision. David didn't make all the right decisions. Not only David struggled, David had sin. We all know the story of David and Bathsheba. We all knew David placed Uriah, which was Bathsheba's husband. God even put him on the forefront of the battle so that he knew he'd be killed. And David lived with that. And David not only had that man killed, but because of that, God had punished him and God had taken his son from him. David's sin. All of that stuff, all those pressures was building up in David's mind. And a lot of times we have all that stuff in the past that we've done. And you know what it does? It builds up in our mind. And the devil uses it against us and we're just like that pressure cooker. And then all of a sudden it stops and we're about to blow up. A lot of times God has given us a pressure valve to release that stuff. And David had to figure out that God was his pressure valve. Casting your care upon Him, for He cared for you. A lot of times we know how to cast, don't we? But a lot of times we cast it out, but we pick it right back up. And I'm not here to throw stones at anybody because I've done the same thing. I said, oh Lord, I need You to take this away from me. And I cast it. And you know what? By the time I got back to the pew, I was reaching back to pick it back up. Some things are not always solved in a 5-minute prayer on an altar. Some things you're going to have to grab faith. And each day you're going to have to cast that thing on the Lord. Because I've noticed sometimes in my life that when I cast it out, I've got a tendency to want to pick it up. And I have to end up casting it back. It's a thing of faith, casting that thing back and not picking it back up. And say, Lord, if I want to pick it up, I need to cast it again and have faith that God can take that thing away from me. The pressure that David faced. He said this in verse number 1. Not only you see the pressure that David faced, I want to say secondly, you'll see the prayer that David made. This whole thing is centered around a prayer. David said this in verse number 1. He said, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. David said, Lord, hear my prayer. I want to say David knew what to do when he was overwhelmed and didn't want to be overcome. David knew he was sinking. David knew there was pressures in this life that he could not take by himself. There wasn't a brother that could help him. There wasn't a sister that could help him. His pastor, his counselor, Ahithophel done left him behind. David needed somebody to go to. And he said, I'll lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about God, getting that through to God through prayer. I want to say this about prayer tonight. I'm glad we're in a church that believes in praying. There's been times in my life that I wouldn't be standing here today if it hadn't been somebody prayed for me or myself praying and getting through to God. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be pressures in this life that you won't understand and you no longer can take. But I'll tell you what will take you through. If you can keep your line of communication open to God and get down on your knees and pray, God knows how to answer your prayer according to His riches. He may not answer it the way you want Him to. But let me tell you what, He'll answer the way he sees right in His own eyes. The prayer that David made. I want to say this about David's prayer. It was, you'll see, first of all, it was on David's feelings in his prayer. David felt defeated by his surroundings. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I go to pray, sometimes I'm defeated by what's going on around me that I can't pray right. And that's the way the devil would have you to be. He'd have you to be in the defeated state, a state of despair, a state of you couldn't get you to where you think you couldn't pray your prayer through the ceiling. Let me tell you what David said. David found himself. He said, "God, I'm in a bad place." And let me tell you what, when you get in a bad place and your prayers are going through, I'm telling you, I'm glad we got a God in heaven that can hear those things. I'm telling you tonight, we have a God tonight that listens to the prayers of His children, and He's attentive unto their prayer. David said, "I need you, O Lord." And I believe when David said that, God had His ear right there on him. Brother Jamie helped me. He's not here tonight, but I want to say he helped me. I wish he was, because I want to tell him, thank him. He helped me one night. We was in Bible school down in Roanoke, Alabama, in the Faith Baptist Church in the basement. He taught me some things about prayer. He was reading from a book, and he said, "Let me say this about prayer." He said, "When you go into your altar," and I hope every one of you has got an altar tonight. He said, "When you go in there, just reach out like you're going to reach on the feet of Jesus when you go to pray." And let me tell you what, that one statement has helped me more in my prayer life than any other thing. Some of the greatest times I've ever had in fellowship with God is in prayer. It was not from preaching. It was not in singing. But it was in praying to a holy God and knowing that His presence was there and knowing that I could reach out and grab hold to Him. And He hears my prayer and He's attentive unto my prayer and unto my cry. You know what that'll make you do? That'll make you be in the prayer room on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'm telling you, one of the greatest weapons we have in the church is prayer. One man said it this way. He said, "A prayerless life is a powerless life." If you don't want to have any power of God in your life, just don't pray. The devil will let you do. He'll let you read your Bible. He'll let you come to church. But I tell you what, he'll distract you the most in is your prayer life. I'll get down to pray, and my mind will go in 1,000 directions. And I say, "Lord," and we know the verse, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." And I say, "Lord, get my mind right." Because a lot of times my mind loves to wander. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the mind that's in this head right here is not always the mind that's in Jesus Christ. You know why? Because I got a lot of flesh on me. But let me tell you this. I said, "Lord, help me to keep my mind and help me to pray right and reach out as if I was touching the feet of Jesus." Brother Jamie also said this. He said, when the airplane comes into the airport, he don't come in just any old way. And a lot of times, you know what we do when we get in our prayer closet? We've been out in this old world. We've been stained with sin, and we come in there any old way. He said, if you was getting ready for the king, if you was getting ready for the president to come in your house, you'd have everything just right. You'd have everything cleaned up. You'd have everything in its right place. He said, it's the same way with your prayer life. You ought to have everything in the right place. So when you make that approach into that altar, it ought to be just right. And you can get down and you can keep your mind focused on what it needs to be. David said, "I need to, when I hear my cry," he said, "from the end of the earth will I cry unto you." David found himself in a remote place. He said, but I'm not here to only focus that David said he thought God was afar off. But David also knew that if God was afar off, he could still hear him. He said, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." You see, I'm glad tonight we have organized prayer in our church. And we do. 15 minutes before every service, we have prayer time right there for the men. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we don't only need organized prayer. We need agonizing prayer. We need where we get back on our knees and we cry for those that are on their way to hell. Those that don't have it like we do. Those that are on their way to hell by your job that we need to pray for. Those around us that don't have the things that we've gotten. God needs to touch them physically. They may be sick. They may need healing. They may need all kinds of things that only God can do. And we need to get down and agonize, get back to agonizing in prayer. And help us to get to where we can touch heaven for somebody else. Agonizing prayer. Where God Himself is there meeting the needs of somebody else on your behalf. Not that you was anything, but that God was everything. In our churches, we need to get back to agonizing prayer, the prayer that David made. David said, I don't know where to go. I'm overwhelmed, and I'm trying not to go down any further. And if I could just get to where God is, there'll be help there. That's the way your prayer altar ought to be. It ought to be a place to where God can help you out. And you know, if you can get to that place, there'd always be help there. There'd always be hope there. There'd always be a presence of God there, a special place. The prayer that David made. I want to say thirdly, not only the prayer that he made, I want to say this, the place where David stayed. Look down in verse number 4. He said this. Well, let's get verse number 3. He said, "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." And here it is. "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." David said he was going to take up tabernacle with God. I wish it was first on our priority to say, I'm going to make it a point that I'm at the house of God every time the doors are open. You see, I got more Bible to tell you tonight that we should come to church than we should not come to church. Because the Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, but so much the more as we see the day approaching. I'm telling you, the day of Christ is not far at hand, and we better get our minds focused on the right things, because we've let things that are invaluable become valuable, and the things that should be valuable to us have become invaluable. The house of God ought to be a priority in each one of our lives. Why? It's just like that altar. You know, if you can get to that house of God, there'll be some teaching. There'll be some preaching. There'll be some singing. There'll be some old-time fellowship. There'll be some old-time hacking, snotting, slinging, preaching, devil-hating. I'm telling you, we need to get to the house of God. David said, "I'll set up tabernacle with God." David said this in Psalm 84:10. He said, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. He said, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in tents of the wickedness. He said, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." David said, "A day in thy courts is better than 1,000. He said, "I'd rather be the lowest man. I'd rather just stand at the door and let people in than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." I'm glad tonight that God's given each one of us a place at the house of God. And David said, "I'll make it a priority to be there." The place that David stayed. And then lastly tonight, I want to close it out with this. The praise that David displayed. Look in verse number 8. We'll get verse 7. He said, "He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him." Verse number 8 says, "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." David said, I'm overwhelmed, but I can tell you what I can do. I can still find a way to praise God. He said, "No doubt my family's rose up against me. No doubt my friends have rose up against me. Oh, Absalom had done let him down. Oh, Ahithophel had let him down. Everybody in David's life that he had thought about had let him down." Let me tell you what, there was one person in David's life that he could think of that had never left him down. And you know who it was? It was God Himself. I'm going to say tonight that God is faithful. I may let you down. There may be somebody that's real close to let you down. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God will never let you down. There may be some things you may face in your life and you think He's not answering my prayer or He don't hear my prayer. But let me tell you what, in the end you'll look back and always, and there's been things I didn't understand. I'll be the first to admit that. And there'll be things that I went through that I thought, man, why did I go through that? But I can look back and I can see God's hand where He run it through my life just to reach down to where I was. You say, why do I have to go through things? Why do I have to go through these things? I'm a child of God. It should all be downhill. It should all be smooth sailing. It should all be with wind in our back. But let me tell you what, I find out serving God, most of the time it's uphill. I may be speaking myself tonight. It ain't a lot of times it is downhill. But a lot of times it's always uphill. And God, I said, God, why would you have us to do that? And he spoke to me and he said this. He said, you know why it's uphill most of the way? Because the more you go uphill, the more you'll learn to trust in me instead of trusting in yourself. You see, my old truck, when it's going downhill, I don't have to give it any gas. I don't have to give it anything. I can just let that thing coast and let it drive. All I'm there is behind that wheel. I can even probably go to sleep almost. I don't have to worry about brakes. But if you let that thing go uphill, you know what I'm doing? I got that thing under control. I'm trusting in something else tonight. God said the more that we go through in this life, the more you'll learn to trust in Him. The praise that David made. He said, enter in Psalm 100, enter thy gates with thanksgiving. Enter in His courts with praise. I'm glad tonight we got somebody that we can praise. I'm glad we can be overwhelmed, but not overcome. You may be here tonight, and you may be at the lowest point of your life. You may be like David. You're not alone. The devil would tell you you're all alone. He'd like to single you out. Let me tell you what, be careful. When the devil rises, you know what you'll want to do, and you're in the shape that David is, you'll want to isolate yourself. You'll say, I'll pull away. I'll go, nobody knows my problem. I'll just pull away from him. Nobody will notice. And the devil will have you do that. But let me tell you what, that's the worst place you can be. God's got you in the house of God. He's planted you with brothers and sisters. They're there to help you. A lot of times I thought this in my own life. I said, Lord, I'm the only one that's ever went through this. Any of y'all ever thought that before? Satan will tell you that. He said, nobody understands your issue. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God knows each one of us. And things that, I want to say this, there's things that are common to man. And you're not probably not the first person that ever went through that. And nor will you be the last. And I'm telling you, God has placed brothers and sisters into a house of God, into a family. You know what they're there for? They're there to help you. They're there to guide you. David found himself that he could be overwhelmed, but those things that may have overwhelmed him would not overcome him. You know why? He learned where to put his trust into. He said, I won't trust in myself. He said, I didn't put myself in so much of this situation, but I got a God in heaven that's guiding me, and He's got His hand on me, and He knows where I'm at. And he said, if I can just get to my prayer altar, hear my prayer, O God. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee when my heart's overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I'm glad we got a place we can go to tonight. I'm glad we got an altar we can run to. I'm glad Brother Mike said what he said tonight. You know, one of the best things about this church is I'm glad when we meet together and somebody comes down here to pray. I'm glad that there'll be brothers and sisters that'll come down and pray with them. I've been in churches and preaches, Brother Mike has, and there ain't nobody been down to the altar in years. And if somebody comes, there ain't no telling what would happen. There'd be dust fly off the altar. I'm not kidding with you. There's churches that never use the altar. I'm telling you what, I'm glad tonight we have an altar in our church and it's always open. And if you want to come, I'll come down with you and pray with you. But I'm glad tonight we do have a place we can pray. I challenge you, we just don't need organized prayer. We need agonizing prayer. There's a verse over in the book of Isaiah, and I believe our churches are in this state in the day and age that we're living in, because we're living in the last days. It said the children are come forth to the birth, but there's not strength to bring them forth. You say, well, what strength? Or how are we going to get that strength? I believe it's going to come through prayer and supplication for the saints. I'm glad tonight we have somebody we can reach out to, Brother Mike.